okay, Brother JD. I just want to tell you about my shepherd. Ain't nobody like him. You hear me? How good he is in my life. And I just want to tell you about my shepherd tonight. And I pray he's your shepherd tonight. Psalm 23 tonight, if you have a copy of God's Word, I'd ask you to turn there for just a few moments, for the next few moments. Psalm 23 tonight, the Lord is my shepherd, is where we're going to be. Boy, I thank God for that, don't you? Man, I'm telling you what, he can shepherd you out of dark places. He can shepherd you out of valleys. Man, he's just a shepherd tonight. The psalmist David, he knows that, and I know that tonight as well. Psalm 23, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Psalm 23, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Read it with me. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen." You may be seated. As we come tonight, I've been praying that prayer over my family. I've been praying that prayer over my mother since she has been sick. I've been praying that whole chapter over my mom and my whole family. But tonight as I come, Brother Les, the other day, he read it and we said it with him. And as we got done, I started thinking about my shepherd and what he has done in my life. And tonight as we come, we see here that King David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In the 23rd Psalm, "And every day you can find the shepherd." Here's what you can find the shepherd doing. The shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is continually leading, guiding, feeding, and bringing rest to his flock. And tonight I want to show you just in a few moments four things about the shepherd tonight that brings comfort to my heart tonight, that brings me where I need to be and have that peace that passes all understanding. If you look in verse number 1, I see that he is a personal shepherd. He is personal. No doubt he has a lot of sheep and a lot of people that know him and a lot of people that are born again. But tonight the Bible said the Lord is my shepherd. He's personal tonight. He is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He counts his sheep tonight. He knows where every sheep is. He knows what they're doing and how they are doing spiritually in their life. He counts his sheep. He calls his sheep, but he cares for his sheep. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 in verse number 6, and Brother Les, you quoted this morning, Isaiah 53 number 5, almost like we've been on the phone, but we haven't, but we have with heaven. Amen? And Isaiah 53, 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him," talking about Jesus Christ, "that the Lord had laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all." He laid our sin on Jesus Christ. He laid our sin on this personal shepherd. He laid all of our sin on Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And tonight I see not only is he my personal shepherd, but I say to you tonight in verse number 3, he is the providing shepherd. Not only is he the personal shepherd, and when he gets personal with you, he will start providing in your life. You'll understand tonight it was nothing that you could do. It's nothing in your life. It's nothing that you can line up, but it's all providing by the shepherd tonight. And as we look at that in verse number 3, he says, "He restoreth my soul." Have you ever been broke down and felt like, man, I tell you what, I just can't get ahead spiritually? I'm in a valley and I'm in a dark valley, and then the Holy Ghost of heaven comes down as he did this morning and just sweep through a place, and he restores that soul. He gives that soul rest. He says, "He restored my soul and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." I see tonight not only is he a personal shepherd, but he is a providing shepherd. He restores the soul of every sheep, but also he rescues that sheep and he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You know why he wants us to live a righteous life. It's not only for you and it's not only for me, but it's for everyone that says that there is a sheep of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants you to walk righteous and he leads you in a righteous place for his name's sake. And tonight I must be careful as a sheep how I wander around, because I'm carrying the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I see tonight that he leads us wherever we go. He is a personal shepherd and he is a providing shepherd. He restores the soul, he rescues the sheep, and he leads us. Be careful how you carry the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've been reading a book and I read this story about Adrian Rogers. I love reading about Adrian Rogers. I can't get enough of what God had done in that man's life. And if you think he's never been in a valley, let me tell you about God providing in his life. Adrian Rogers said that for 5 years they had prayed about going to Asia, and they was going to go and they was going to do a great revival. It was a humongous crusade, and Bellevue Baptist went in with the people of Asia, and it took lots and lots of money, and he had a stint put in within them 5 years. And as the time rolled on and it got closer to go, and he was going to fly out and go there and preach that crusade, that his doctor that was in his church said, "Let me check your heart before you aboard the plane." And Adrian Rogers went and had a heart test done, and he had blockage and he had to have a quadruple bypass. And he said, "But let me go preach first." He said, "If you go preach the gospel and you go over there, it could be damaging to your heart." And Adrian Rogers said, "Well, God is my provider and he knows what I need." He said, "I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and I'll have the surgery and I won't go preach." There's another man that I know that has been praying just like I have, and let him have the opportunity to go preach that revival. And that's what he did. He went on in there in the hospital in Memphis. He had that quadruple bypass and he laid there. The other man went and preached the gospel and 7,000 people come to know Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, what is that?" That's nothing more than we got a personal shepherd. He knows where we need to be, and not only is he personal, but he provides. And Adrian Rogers said while he laid in that hospital room, he didn't question God one bit. He was still in the saving business, and he knew he could use him to witness to somebody. He said he got in there and he witnessed to 3 people. He led a young girl to the Lord, and then he led another man to the Lord. And then one night there, he got to lead a man and woman both to Christ. And he told him when he got out that he would love to baptize them. And the next morning, the woman died and went on to be with the Lord. He said he may have won 7,000 to the Lord, but I won 3, and I got personal with all 3 of them. Friends, tonight, can I say to you, it is very personal in your life to have somebody, and his name is Jesus. Amen. He said, "I didn't get hard-hearted because I didn't get to go to Asia. I just realized my mission field had been changed. I didn't get to go there, but I still got to share the gospel." And tonight, I want you to know this. He is a personal shepherd. He is a providing shepherd. Everybody in this room has been provided for by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But let me give you this. Not only is he personal, not only is he providing, but I love this. He is a protecting shepherd. He protects us. Man, let me tell you, how he protects us. Mightily, he protects us. Do y'all know how flammable gas is? Gasoline. I was working at Spurl Trust, and they got a diesel fuel hot water sprayer that washes cars. Correct, David Barnes? I didn't know it ran off diesel fuel. It's got an igniter. When you hit that igniter, it blows a flame and it wants to crank the machine up. And you're talking about a protecting shepherd that provides and he protects you. I went in there one day at work and I needed to wash something, so I just grabbed the gasoline and poured it over in that machine. I filled it slap full and went in there and started hitting that button, that igniter, and that igniter kept it, that you could see the flame, and it'd go out, and it'd go out. Just by the grace of God that he protected me and didn't allow that thing to blow up. It ain't supposed to work that way. It isn't supposed to explode. You're supposed to be dead. But can I say to you, a man of God and the will of God, his protection is on your life. Let me share you this. Not only is he the personal shepherd, not only is he providing, but he protects. Look in verse number 4. And if you're a Christian tonight, Sister Angie, I'm going to give you this tonight before I baptize you. You're going to walk through valleys. You got saved this morning, but you're going to walk through some valleys, hon. I'm telling you. But you got a church family that loves you. We're going to be there for you. We're going to help you any way we can. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. You're going to walk through valleys, but you've got a shepherd that'll protect you through every valley that you go through. I promise you. Look what he says. The psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley. Not only is he personal, but the valley I walk through is personal too. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley. There's going to come times this church is not going to be in a valley, but you're going to be in one. There's going to come times this church is going to get in the valley, and maybe your life ain't in the valley, but we're going to walk through valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want to say tonight, them valleys that he protects us through, that valleys are real. For every born-again believer that's a sheep, valleys are real. So, preacher, I ain't never been through a valley. You ain't been saved very long. Valleys are real. They're coming. They're coming. You be ready. That shepherd will be there for you. Valleys are relentless. When you get in them as a sheep, they're relentless. A sheep is not made to climb. A sheep's just made to follow. When you get in that valley, you may not be able to come out. You may not be able to climb out, but the shepherd will tote you out. I don't know about you, but there's been times I thank God he toted me. Amen. Valleys are real. Valleys are relentless, but valleys are rewarding. You get rewarded when you're in the valley. If you never go through a valley, you'll never understand that he is with you. If you never go through that valley, you'll never understand how close. Some of the darkest days of my life is he's been the closest. Some of the darkest days, he's been closer than ever when it's so dark and you can't see nothing and you don't know what to do. He's right there protecting and guiding and leading you because he's right there. He's not a God that's way out there. He's a God that's right there. He's a God that's right there. Valleys are real. They're relentless, but they're rewarding. I wrote this down. The shepherd makes sure the sheep gets through the valley. Every sheep, he makes sure they get through the valley. The shepherd never leaves a sheep in the valley. You say, oh, now, preacher, no, he won't leave you in there. Now, you may go through it for days, months, and a good while. But when it's time to come out, he's going to make sure you come out of that valley. He's going to make sure you got to come out of that valley. Let me give you this. Not only is it a personal shepherd providing and protecting, but in verse 5 and 6, I see this. He is a promising shepherd. He promises you something. He promises you something. And tonight, I don't know about you, but I love promises, don't you? A promise ain't very much if it's not kept. Now, you promise me something all day long, but until it's met, it's not. A promise is no good until it's fulfilled. Right? A promise is no good until it's fulfilled. You can promise me all day long, but it's no good till it's fulfilled. You know what God does? When he promises you something, he fulfills it. He's not never promised to give you or do something for you that he ain't going to fulfill. There's not a promise in this book that he makes that he ain't going to keep. Can I say this? He's going to keep them when you don't even hold up to your end of the deal. Well, wait a minute, preacher. No. There's some promises he's made you he's going to fulfill even when you don't keep up your end. Because that's just the kind of person he is. That's the kind of God he is. He holds up to his end of the deal. But what he says, he promises the sheep to have an anointing. Every person that's born again has an anointing on their life. But what he says in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I'm going to ask you now, is your cup running over? What will it overflow with? What's this promise that you're talking about? What will it overflow with? Let me show you what he said he'll overflow you with. Verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy. When you get where you say, hey, Lord God, I don't know what to do. You remember his promises that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Amen. If you don't think God's been good, you ain't looking at the anointing. If you don't think God's been good, whoa, glory to us, you ain't looking. You say, oh, man, you can get in a valley now and God ain't been good to you. And then you start counting your blessings. Name them one by one. And it'll surprise you, Brother Garrett Barnes, what the Lord has done. When you start naming them blessings one by one, but the problem is we don't want to name our blessings. We want to or number them. We want to name and number our burdens. And if you're counting burdens, you're not counting blessings. You're not. Ryder, he's asleep over there. He is wore out tonight. And I have to be careful because I'm like, if ain't long, I'll be talking about him like he's a burden. I mean, Brother Hayden, can I get amen? Come on, son. You know, we're in the nursery together Wednesday night. We do a pretty good job at it, but we don't want it full time, right? You'll amen that. Amen. You are a blessing. Your spouse sitting beside you is not a burden. They're a blessing. If they become a burden, something's out of line. You need to get it lined back up. If your children are a burden to you, they're not supposed to be a burden. They're supposed to be a blessing. When church becomes a burden, something ain't right. It ain't supposed to be a burden. It's supposed to be a blessing. When people are getting saved and it's burdening you, it shouldn't be a burden. It should be a blessing. He said, surely. That's a promise. Surely. Brother Jay, surely. Goodness. Man, he's been good to you and Holly. Sister Holly, been good to you. Brother Bray, he's been good to you and sister. They got grandbabies everywhere. Probably going to have some more. I don't know, but might have. Spoke that on Brother Jake. Surely. Hey, you know, last time we spoke out, we got about 34 of them in here. Brother Joy Boys, don't you sit back there asleep. Hey, they everywhere. Kids everywhere. Kids everywhere. Surely goodness. Sister Missy, he been good to you. Brother Lee, he been good to you. Brother Brian, he been good to you. Brother Logan, he been good to you. Sister Pat, he been good to you. Yeah, surely goodness. But you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to put you in the valley and forget all the goodness he's done. He wants to put you in the valley. He wants to take every bit of the goodness and all the mercy that God's poured on you. He wants to move it out. He wants to take it away and get you to forget about it. But he said, He said, I'm going to anoint you. And surely goodness and mercy. If you're saved, you're anointed. You are anointed. If the anointing wasn't on this place right here and on these people, what happened this morning would not have happened. That don't happen without the anointing of the Holy Ghost flying through this place. People giving their life to Jesus. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But it ain't all of it. He said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long, brother?
Forever.
No, you're just going to dwell in there for a little. No. Forever. Forever. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be there forever. I ain't going to have no gray, Sister Caitlin, when I get up there. You hear me? And I may have hair. I don't know what I'm going to have, but I'm going to have some. If I get to pick it, son, I'm getting ahead for. You hear me? Probably going to get me a mullet down at... y'all know what I'm saying? Surely goodness, he's that good. He's that good. Me and my wife has asked him for stuff in our life, prayed about it, and he just poured his goodness right out there. And there's been times we said, Lord, we can't take no more. And he said, you want some mercy? And we said, please. You know what mercy is? You ever played Mercy with Hagen? No? You know, like when somebody gets you in a headlock? Y'all don't do that as a married couple. Sister Barnes, not Barnes now. Yeah, you. Right there. You and your husband don't play like that? No? No, okay. But Kat, I know y'all do. I know you. I know you. Woo! Mercy is when you've had enough. Mercy is when you had enough and you weren't tapped out. I'm talking about they done got strength. Mercy said, hey, I'm done. I'm out. I can't handle it no more. That's what mercy is. Jesus said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And what does he do? He says, hey, you need mercy? Who in here tonight, I wonder, would need mercy? Yes, you, man, you done had all the wrath you can take. You done had all the demons in your mind. You done had everything. You're tired of it. He said, Lord, I just want some goodness. Lord, I know I got to go through valleys, but can you just let up on them? Can you just, I want out of them right now. I want out of them. I just want goodness for a little while, and I want your mercy. And if it takes me just dwelling in your house forever, give me what I need. We got a good shepherd. Problem ain't with the shepherd, it's with the sheep. Never been with a shepherd. There's not a person in this place can blame the shepherd for anything. The shepherd ain't never done you wrong. The shepherd ain't. He can't do wrong. He's righteous. But what about a sheep tonight? Let me read this to you. Author unknown. If I knew him, I'd tell you to. Author unknown. What kind of sheep are you? And we'll close with this. What kind of sheep? Let me tell you about my shepherd. I done that. Now let me ask you, what kind of sheep are you? I done asked this on Brandy and Kaylee. And we answered it honest. I want you to answer it honest. Honest as you can answer it. This morning, when I got this, I got it honestly. I want you to answer it. What kind of sheep are you? I told you about the shepherd, but what kind of sheep are you? What kind of sheep are you? A lot of Christians are like wheelbarrows. Not good unless somebody pushes them. Some are like canoes that need to be paddled. Some are like kites. If you don't keep a string on them, they'll fly away. Some are like kittens. They are more content when they're petted. Some are like a football. You can't tell what way they will bounce next. Some are like balloons full of wind and ready to blow up. Some are like trailers. They have to be pulled. And some are like lights. They keep going on and off. But then there's some of them who always seek to let the Holy Spirit lead them. I ask you tonight a question. I told you about the shepherd and what kind of shepherd we got. But what kind of sheep are you tonight? You'll never be the sheep that he's called you to be if you're not led by the Holy Spirit. Tonight I want you to ask yourself that question. What kind of sheep are you? The problem's never with the shepherd. It's always with the sheep. Father, I love you and I thank you for this night. I thank you for the Holy Ghost of heaven. Father, I thank you that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, Father. Lord, I pray for the next few moments at the time of invitation, Lord God, if they be one that says, hey, I'm just that sheep that has to be pulled, pushed, patted, primed, petted. Lord, I pray tonight that we get out of that state. Lord God, we get to the place we allow the Holy Ghost of heaven to lead our life. Lord, we be a light that it's not on one day and off the next, but we always be a light. Let us be a light that shineth. Lord, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Lord, I pray that tonight, that your will be done. I pray tonight, Father, that you have your will and way in this place. Lord, I thank you tonight for this night. I ask it in Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. I ask you to stand.